For decades, containment and deterrence were reliable staples of American foreign policy, helping to prevent war with the Soviet Union. In pressing his case for war against Iraq, President Bush has characterized containment as a useless policy of the past. Foreign policy experts increasingly are debating the question, why won't containment work in Iraq's case? NPR's Mike Schuster reports.
After a recent meeting with British Prime Minister Tony Blair, President Bush used the opportunity to take another dismissive swipe at the policy of containment.
After September the 11th, the doctrine of containment just doesn't hold any water as far as I'm concerned.
The Bush administration argues that Iraq must be disarmed rather than contained because it could use weapons of mass destruction to intimidate its oil-rich neighbors or share unconventional weapons with terrorists. And in the worst-case scenario, Iraq might acquire nuclear weapons and blackmail the United States. John Mearsheimer, professor of political science at the University of Chicago, says the Bush administration is just wrong about this.
If the mighty Soviet Union couldn't blackmail us, how is it that Saddam Hussein, with a handful of nuclear weapons, could blackmail us? In fact, he couldn't.
Mearsheimer argues the threat of overwhelming retaliation from the United States, with nuclear weapons or otherwise, would prevent Saddam Hussein from attacking his neighbors or even sharing weapons of mass destruction with terrorists. The Iraqis would never know if the United States had detected an illicit connection to terrorists, Mearsheimer says, and Saddam Hussein would have to worry about an American attack if the U.S. even suspected such a link. These are not the reasons Saddam Hussein seeks such weapons, Mearsheimer argues.
The reason that Saddam Hussein wants nuclear weapons is the same reason the United States wants nuclear weapons, that Israel wants nuclear weapons, that India wants nuclear weapons, and so forth and so on. They are an excellent deterrent. If you have nuclear weapons, it's very difficult, if not impossible, for another country to attack you.
Many in the Bush administration argue that containment and deterrence will not work in the Iraqi case because Saddam Hussein has invaded his neighbors, Iran and Kuwait, and has used chemical weapons against the Iranians and his own Kurdish population. Michael Mandelbaum, the author of The Ideas That Conquered the World, agrees with this argument.
Saddam may be more prone to gamble, may be more prone to recklessness than the leaders of the Soviet Union turned out to be. We don't know, but he could be.
Advocates of containment say Saddam Hussein made reckless calculations because the United States encouraged him to attack Iran in 1980 and did not clearly warn him from attacking Kuwait in 1990. Any policy of containment would have to include strengthened economic sanctions against Iraq, as well as continued weapons inspections. In addition, says Michael Mandelbaum, the United States would have to keep large numbers of troops in the Persian Gulf.
We deterred the Soviet Union in Europe by putting 400,000 troops in Germany. Would we be willing and able to replicate that condition in the Persian Gulf? I'm not sure we would, and I'm not sure those troops would be acceptable.
Some who favor containment say the Bush administration is not considering the threat to American safety that a war might cause. That's the view of Richard Betts, professor of international affairs at Columbia University.
Containment and deterrence have a logic to them that makes it likely that Saddam Hussein will not use his weapons of mass destruction or give them to terrorists as long as we clearly threaten him with devastating retaliation if he does. As long as we pose that threat, he's got an incentive to hold back. But once we go for his jugular and he's going down, then he doesn't have any incentive to hold back.
The CIA itself has concluded that Iraq is more likely to use weapons of mass destruction if the U.S. attacks. Betts worries that could include the use of biological weapons inside the United States. For Michael Ledeen, all of this argues in favor of war. Ledeen, who works at the American Enterprise Institute in Washington, says the argument for containment made by John Mearsheimer rests too much on guesses.
I think that anybody making national security policy for the United States right now has to hope for the best but assume the worst. And we pay our leaders to protect us against worst-case scenarios. I mean, the guy may be right, but suppose he's wrong. Then it costs an awful lot of American lives, and we can't have that.
One thing is true about those who advocate containment. They concede that it would not disarm Iraq and that over time Baghdad would probably acquire nuclear weapons. The Bush administration insists on disarmament now, a position that Michael Mandelbaum agrees with.
We do not necessarily have to resign ourselves to the inevitability of an Iraqi nuclear weapons program and an Iraqi nuclear arsenal if we follow the option of forcible disarmament of Saddam. That doesn't guarantee that Iraq would never get nuclear weapons, but I think it gives us some reason to hope that Iraq would not do so.
Still, since the 1991 Gulf War, the U.S. has relied on containment to deal with Iraq. Over that period, Iraq has not invaded its neighbors, nor, according to the UN inspectors, has it made much progress in its quest for a nuclear weapon. Mike Schuster, NPR News, Los Angeles.